Can you imagine being behind a camera and taking snaps of the likes of the Stranglers, the Everly Brothers, Ozzy Osbourne, Hot Chocolate, Neil Young, the list goes on? Well, there's a Ballarat photographer who's done all that and more, and we're going to continue with a yarn or three today about some of the legends he's taken photos of. You might know him from The Courier, but yep, he was there in the heady days of rock and roll. His name, Mr. Jeremy Bannister. G'day, Jeremy.
Good morning, Brett.
Jez, nice to have you back on the show, mate. When I roll off those names like that, do you kind of think, actually, yeah, that was me, you're right, or is it a bit surreal?
It is a bit strange thinking back on it and going, yeah, there's a lot of bands.
Yeah, we've spoken a lot about London to date. However, once you got back from London town, you did a lot of work with some of Australia's finest, and we're going to go through some of those in a moment. Remember these guys? Oh, yeah. How good were they, eh? How good are they?
Great band. Great band.
When did you photograph them, Jeremy?
1985, my ex-editor from London, Matt Snow, before he started Mojo magazine, got in touch with me. He's working for Sounds and said, we're going to do a big story on the Hoodoo Gurus because they were huge in England. They sort of hit the big time there. And he flew out from London. We spent a day with the Hoodoo Gurus flying, driving around Melbourne, went to breakfast in Ackland Street and handmade shoes in Fitzroy. And was, they were the biggest band in Australia at the time. It was all very cool.
Did they kind of behave like they were the biggest band?
Of course they did.
They did,
But good guys. But, they knew they were top of the pecking order.
And were
they
splashing the cash, like you mentioned, the new shoes?
Hugely expensive Italian handmade winkle pickers and, no expense spared. They were having a lovely time.
Yeah. Were you a fan before you met them that day?
Oh, yeah, because I Want You Back, their first single, could not get for love or money in London. I knew there was this huge buzz about them. Couldn't find it anywhere. Couldn't wait to get to see them and hear them. And, it was justified. That first album, Stone Age Romeos, was just a corker.
How do you rate Dave Faulkner?
Really nice guy. Really nice guy, very down to earth, not affected too much by the showbiz rubbish and, good fella.
And, Jeremy, you were with the Hoodoos when things sort of flipped around.
They
went from the stars to the starry-eyed boys.
Exactly.
Who'd they meet?
We were down at Countdown. They were doing a rehearsal mid-afternoon for that. And they came running up to me in one of the back little walkways at the back of the studio there and said, Jeremy, Susie Kotrick, can we get a photo of her? So the biggest band in Australia suddenly became starstruck and fans. And I thought, that's just delightful. Everyone has we all started in this business because we loved music and had rock heroes. And here was Susie Quattro. And they were like schoolboys gathering around her. And I've got a photo of Susie with this bemused look on the face going, who are these people?
Do you think she had no idea who they were?
She probably heard of them, but I don't think she'd even met them yet. And it was just wonderful because they were like, whoa, it's Susie. Very funny.
We might, if with your permission, Jeremy, that photo which you just showed me on your phone, we might even put that on our Facebook page later on.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, you got these wild rockers in the background. Yeah. And they do look like little boys with Susie and this big puff of hair in the front. It's a magnificent sight. All right, so that was the Hoodoo Gurus. Then there was these guys. Sunny Boys, more than just one of those sort of weekend icy poles in a box type thing.
They were
a pretty good band, weren't they, hey?
They were and still are one of the greatest bands to come out of Australia. I never understood they weren't much, much bigger than they were. Just consummate pop songs, beautiful melodies and catches and rhythms and good guitarists. I got to know the guitarist really well when he joined the Saints later on. But the Sunny Boys were just gorgeous, and to the extent where I was a big fan anyway. And while I was in London, my A&R person from A&M Records said, they're coming to Australia, do you want to go and see them? And sometimes you just want to see a band without a camera. I just want to go along and watch them.
Yeah.
And it was the 100 Club in Soho, and I went down to see them, and Jeremy Oxley was projectile vomiting over the stage because he just got off the plane, and I think was a bit hungover, which was pretty funny to watch anyway. But they were still wonderful. They played really, really well. And I went backstage and said, and they found out I was from the NME and got so excited because they thought they were going to be in the NME. Went, no, I'm just here to see you. So I dashed their hopes.
So you didn't actually have your camera?
I just wanted to see them.
That would have been quite rare for you to be at a gig without a camera.
Yeah, and it was liberating. I've done it with a few bands like the Buzzcocks. Yeah. I thought, my favourite band ever, I just wanted to see them without a camera. I wanted to remember it and experience and sing along like an idiot down the front.
What sort of gear were you using back then, Jeremy?
Ooh, I had a camera bag with two bodies, six lenses. Flash was useless, obviously, because you couldn't use it at night. It killed the lighting effect, which yeah, it sounds a lot, but it actually fitted into a bag. But it was heavy, but yeah. I'd just sling it over my shoulder. And the old Nikon I used to use was nice and heavy, and occasionally bang it over someone's head when they pogoed into you. And
so it was a weapon as well.
Like, yeah, it became a little handy weapon. It was quite good. Never heard it either.
All right, so the hoodoos to the Sunny Boys. Then there was the go-betweens. What was it like behind the scenes with those guys?
Again, lovely, lovely people. They sort of started to get the recognition they deserve because just wonderful people. It's really sad that not Robert, the other one, died so young. Mm. Very sad because just to think that they came out of JB Occupators in Brisbane, the same as the Saints, who are the best band in Australia, you know, hands down. They were brilliant and couldn't make it in Australia because Countdown wouldn't give them any airtime whatsoever. So they had to go to London. They were huge in France and England and almost ignored here. But the go-betweens were just lovely people, very, very gentle. And I photographed them in drag in a kitchen in Punt Road.
What was this, for a video clip or
no,
something?
No, it was just a promotional photo.
Okay.
Yeah, and the boys are in dresses and they were eating The Age and sitting back, you know, while Lindy was cutting the bread, and it was just one of those weird photos which became their favourite photo ever. And they loved that photo. They used it time and time again. And I bumped into them outside Rough Trade Records in London one day. Mm. And they said, did you ever pay for that? And I went, no, of course not. And they disappeared back inside the record company and came back out with £50 and put it in my hands.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they were so delighted with it. And I thought, isn't that nice? Yeah, again, honourable, decent people.
Yeah. Record company is terrible. As you've spoken about before, it was tough selling these photos.
Oh,
you were taking these amazing pics, but you had to absolutely flog them.
Yeah, and if they weren't good enough, they just wouldn't get used. And it was hard work, but it was, again, one of those great jobs because you're doing something you love. So that all came with it, the fact that you really wanted to get good photos.
Mm. Okay, that was the go-betweens. Then there was this mob.
We've got this night together.
Pretty song. Uncanny X-Men. We're not going to mention Bwine's speech impediment because that would be very unprofessional. What were they like behind the scenes? What was Brian like?
Again, just a lovely fella. I've got to make an admission here. I've never seen them live. Can't bear the band, but anyway. Brian is a lovely, lovely fella. One of my old schoolmates ended up being a cameraman for Channel 10 and then went out on his own. He actually did Kylie's first video for Locomotion. So he's got the runs on the board, and he rang me up and said, can you come along and be a grip for a film clip we're doing with the Uncanny X-Men? I hadn't really heard of them. We were at Alan Moffat's house, somewhere south of Melbourne.
Hang on, Alan Moffat, the racing driver.
The racing driver. We're in his house. I don't know why. It was a good prop, I suppose. And Brian's not the tallest man on earth.
No.
And he was dancing around behind this full-size billiard table. And as a joke, I suggested, why don't you stand on the dolly and I'll push you along from underneath? As a joke. And he thought, that's great. So if you ever see a film clip behind a big pool table, you'll see Brian moving along.
Just sort of gliding by.
Gliding by, yeah.
That was your idea.
That was my idea. And I was laughing. I was on the ground trying to keep it steady so he didn't fall off the dolly. And he's a lovely fella.
He would have had the tight pants on, wouldn't he?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. And he loved it. And I thought, it's the silliest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, it really was a joke, but didn't work out that way.
Jeremy Bannister, we talked about the hoodoos being starstruck by Susie Quattro. Mm. Did you ever get starstruck? Was there anyone you just thought, wow, I can't believe I'm in the same room as this person or this band?
Yeah, a lot of them, actually. I suppose when you look at it that way, as I say, The Damned, The Sex Pistols, The Clash. Barry Manilow is an eye-opener, as I said. We were expecting to hate him, and he was just a consummate professional. A lot of them, yeah. You look at them and think, New York Dolls, bands like this, you think these are at the top of their game and they're hugely powerful people. Grace Jones was another extraordinary one. The Pretenders even. Yeah, just
really?
A wonderful band.
Yeah.
Funny story with them too. They was one of the worst gigs I've ever seen because the whole band was fighting.
Bit like Don and Phil Everly.
Exactly.
The
they just come from America and the drummer had put his fist through a window because he was so angry. So his hands were stitched. And the bass guitarist and the lead guitarist died very soon after from drug overdoses. So I was very glad to see them when they're all in one unit.
Mm.
And the number of drumsticks on the floor because he couldn't hang on to them because he stitched hands. They were flying through the spotlights and it became a laughing stock. I was just laughing out loud. And again, I didn't take my camera. I should have because I would have got these great photos of drumsticks flying through the air at the Palais in St Kilda.
Finally, Jeremy, taking photos of rock and rollers or wedding couples, as you do a lot of these days, what's harder?
Oh, wedding couples. No doubt.
Of course. They are just remarkable stories, Jeremy. I love reliving them with you. Thank you for sharing. There's so much more that we could talk about when it comes to the people you've snapped and got the goss from. So we might continue it at some stage. But, Jeremy, thanks for reminiscing.
Thanks for the opportunity, mate.
And, of course, people know you from your work too with Legacy in Ballarat, a wonderful volunteer organisation. So keep up the good work there as El Presidente. Jeremy Bannister, thanks for your time at Ballarat today.
Cheers.